In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Like a Midas touch by the very first time, I make decisions with my wallet, not my mind. Too much money for one person to control. Ooh, audacity will not buy back your soul.
Hello and welcome to Too Much Money, the podcast that asks, does being a billionaire make you crazy or do you need to be crazy to be a billionaire? I'm Dori Shafrir.
And I'm Joe Piazza.
And we are your hosts.
And again, still not billionaires.
Still not billionaires. You know, Joe, I played Powerball this week.
Oh my gosh, so did Nick. We were in Key West and I was actually buying an energy drink because I wanted to stay up for the Eagles game.
Uh-huh.
And yeah. and he bought 2 Powerball tickets. Did you win?
No.
I know.
Neither.
We didn't either.
I checked on the little, you know, there's a California Lottery app.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You can like scan your ticket with. Mm-hmm. So I just fired up the app and I scanned it and it was like, and then it was like, sorry, this ticket is not a winner. Like not even like you won a dollar. It was like, you are not a winner.
It might as well just say you're a loser.
Right?
Yeah.
Like just
yeah.
like. Yeah, why even sugarcoat it?
Don't sugarcoat it. You know what? Loser.
It's a loser.
So, yeah, you know, I was going to be a multimillionaire this
yeah,
week.
Yeah, soon. Soon.
Well, alas.
Alas. Yeah. Do not stop holding out hope, Dori.
Thank you, Joe.
But the question is, what would you do with that money? We haven't even talked about that. What would you do with too much money?
What would I do with too much money? I mean, I would have to do something ridiculous so that we could record an episode about the ridiculous thing I did with my too much money, just to be super meta about it.
Yeah, no, exactly. Well, we should wait is the thing. Let's wait to decide what we would do with too much money until we have enough episodes and enough knowledge under our belt.
Oh, that's so wise.
Yeah, like to make an educated decision about what we'll do with our Powerball winnings.
I won't contact the dinosaur bone dealer yet.
Do not. Also, I think that he's tied up in court.
You're right. Damn it.
Yeah. He's busy. Have you been checking our mailbox lately? We have anything good in our mailbox?
I sure have.
Oh, good.
Yes, we have been getting some good stuff in our mailbox. You can email us at toomuchmoneypodcast@gmail.com. We love getting mail. We got an email from a listener about our Titanic episode.
Oh.
Who said, when you were mentioning the Titanic rebuild being in poor taste, I could not stop thinking about this slide that I recall going on at the state fair when I was a kid. And she sent a link to an image that is now seared into my brain that I will put into the show notes of one of those big, like, bouncy house inflatable slides that you'd see at, like, a fair.
Yeah.
Except it's a sinking Titanic.
No, it's not. Make it stop.
And you're sliding down like into what I think is supposed to be like a wave.
Death? You're sliding into death?
You're sliding into death.
Okay.
And there's a very like jaunty looking AI generated looking man like supervising at the bottom.
This is the kind of mail that I live for, actually.
I was just like, wow, that's wild. But we did get another email. The subject line was resurrecting mammoths. And this person wrote, billionaires love dinosaurs, and apparently they also enjoy trying to bring back woolly mammoths. Lots of angles here. Enjoy.
That person and I clearly have some kind of connection, because this is what I've been preparing for you for weeks now.
Ah, Joe.
I know. And my Sicilian witchiness always comes out.
I am so here for this, because this is another one of those things where it's like, this can't end well.
We don't know yet. To be honest, we don't know yet. But I don't, if you've seen Jurassic Park, and yes,
have none of these people seen Jurassic
Park? Have none of these people seen Jurassic Park? I would like to enlist Jeff Goldblum, actually, to come with me to some of these billionaires' houses to be like,
totally,
life finds a way.
Joe, were you a history major?
I was not. this is going to floor you, Dory. I think this is a Joe Piazza fact you don't know. I was an economics major.
Oh, wow. I did not know that.
It seems unlikely.
It does seem unlikely, but like, amazing, and actually pretty apt for the podcast that we are now recording.
Truth. I'm sure that UPenn's economics department is really psyched. They're like, by the way, Joe Piazza.
I took one econ class in college, but I was a history major, and it is that you know, cliche of like the, what is it? Like those who, something about not studying history, were doomed to repeat it, or
we're
something like that.
It. Totally. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Just saying. Well, and look, here's the thing. A lot of people seem to be doomed to repeat this, because today's episode, it's not just one billionaire that we're going to be talking about today. It's a lot of billionaires separately, not even working together, these billionaires. It's yet another project that billionaires and multimillionaires seem to love, which made me think, I do have a quick sidebar question. What should we call a group of billionaires? Like, a group of flamingos is called a flamboyance, and a group of crows, I think, is a murder, which is weird. What would we call a group of billionaires?
That is such a good question.
Maybe we should put it out to the listeners. You can email us.
Email us toomuchmoneypodcast@gmail.com. I mean, my first instinct was like assholes, but I mean, I think we can be a little bit more creative.
How to be a little bit more creative and also work with, you know, like a little bit of, you know, what is it when you start two things with the same letter, not siblings?
Alliteration.
Alliteration, yeah. So, yes. I was thinking maybe a booty of billionaires.
I like that.
Like a pirate's booty. Booty.
So that's good.
What I'm saying is that a booty of billionaires has been into the idea of resurrecting the woolly mammoth.
Oh dear.
And it keeps coming up. Have you been following the news out of the COP climate change conference this year, Dory?
You know, Joe, I have to admit I haven't been following it that closely, because this is bad. I admit this is bad, but I do have a little bit of like, la 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 la, can't listen, because usually all that stuff is so depressing.
Fair, my friend. I happen to be married to a human being who works in sustainability, so I have to.
Oh, so you can't put your fingers in your ears and say la la la.
No. I mean, we even went to a COP together.
Once. Wow.
Yeah, we went to the COP in Paris. Like, it was kind of hot, and you know, we ended up going to some crazy party with Sean Penn and Naomi Campbell, because these places are crawling with rich people and celebrities.
Wow.
Crawling with them. It's a sideshow at this point. Like, I don't even think people are doing real climate change things. It's become essentially like the Sundance Film Festival or South by Southwest, but for really, really rich ass people and countries, like heads of state and stuff. But yeah, it's their South by Southwest is what it is. This COP conference, which is in Dubai, very hot place, by the way, like warm place on the planet. One of the many Russian billionaires has started throwing the woolly mammoth resurrection back into the mix. Yeah.
Oh no.
This is a thing. It's a thing at COP right now. His name is Andre. I'm gonna butcher his name. It's Andrei Melnichenko. He's a Russian billionaire. He made his money in the ways that Russian billionaires do. Apparently, fertilizer and coal in this case. He has been sanctioned after the invasion of the Ukraine. But his thing that he's peddling at the climate change conference right now is that he wants to try to reverse what is happening in Siberia. The Siberian permafrost is melting. Obviously, very bad for the climate. Very bad. And very bad for so many reasons. You know, melting is bad, rising water levels, but also methane emissions when permafrost melts are apparently a bad thing. Yeah. So,
okay.
One of the ways that he thinks we should be doing this is by taking Russia's ecosystem back about 14,000 years to when woolly mammoths roamed around the tundra.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And so there's like a whole setup at COP right now at one of the venues, and they have this what is being called in the press a digital menagerie of Ice Age animals moving through the tundra on apparently an immersive exhibit. And so like there's fog and mist, and all of a sudden the mist parts, revealing muskox, reindeer, mammoths.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And so the question that I have to ask here,
yes,
is this really about eco-stability, or do billionaires just want a woolly mammoth to play with?
I mean, right? Is this really about eco-stability? I have a personal answer to that question, but
I don't want to force our personal answers on people until we get to the end of the episode,
Exactly.
Then we will. Yeah.
Now, Joe, I guess, before we take a break, could you educate me and our listeners a little bit more on the woolly mammoth?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Let me just pull up some of my woolly mammoth research here. Now, what I do want to say is that we mentioned this, not in the last episode, but in the episode before when we were talking about the Titanic. The things that billionaires are into are often very similar to the things that small children are into.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. And both of us have small children, so...
Both of us have small children.
It all feels very familiar.
It really does. It really does. And so woolly mammoths and other extinct animals are yet another category of things that young kids get obsessed with. I just want to put that in people's heads, I was talking to my six-year-old about the research I was doing for this episode. And he is psyched. He is psyched to listen.
Oh my gosh, of course.
Because extinct animals. And you live in LA. We went to the La Brea Tar Pits, where you can see a lot of these mammoths and mastodons and animals that got stuck in the tar during the Pleistocene.
They were just roaming around.
They were just roaming around downtown LA.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I will fill everyone in. I am kind of a woolly mammoth expert, given I have an extinct animal loving 6-year-old who clearly will one day be a billionaire, given all of his interests.
Obviously. Yeah, exactly. Yes. Obviously.
So the woolly mammoth is a subspecies of mammoth. They lived in the Pleistocene period. Now, these are not like dinosaurs, okay? This is in terms of geologic time, it's not that long ago. So we're only talking about 14,000 years, whereas dinosaurs are millions. Like 14,000, I can wrap my head around. But for me, dinosaurs don't seem real because it was
like
300 million years ago. And I'm like, that's just a story you guys made up.
Totally. Now, Joe, just as an aside, mm-hmm. I think when we were talking about dinosaurs, I was like, yeah, my son's like kind of into dinosaurs, but not like you were describing your son as being like super into dinosaurs. Now, I just want to note, I don't know if it's a coincidence, but we have this book of like dinosaur facts with like fold out. I'm sure you probably have the same book.
We have 27 of them.
Yeah, exactly. So, but within the last couple of weeks, my son has been inexplicably drawn toward this dinosaur book and wants me to read it to him at bedtime.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, what is happening here?
Welcome to the, yeah. It's a special circle of
and
health.
And thus it begins.
Thus it begins. And I don't, it doesn't end. It doesn't, I do not see it ending.
Oh, boy.
Soon.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So essentially, these guys are massive, massive elephants with a lot of fur.
That seems like a great way to describe. Now, what is their propensity for violence?
We don't know a ton about that, but what we do know is how their teeth were shaped. So we've seen a lot of specimens of woolly mammoths and mastodons, and some of these massive elephant-type creatures had teeth that are very, very similar to actual elephants, which means very flat, and that they ate, meaning they ate a lot of leaves and branches and things like that. They did have massive tusks, which means much like elephants, you know, and we can extract our knowledge of elephants. The male ones could get in a big old fight. And if an elephant's mad, it will get you. I mean, elephants have been known to break free from circuses, to break free from elephant bondage, which is sadly still a thing, elephant labor, and to go on rampages. So I don't think they're naturally violent, but if you make them mad, shit's going to go
down. You don't want to piss them off.
I wouldn't piss one off. No. Do I necessarily think that we should be releasing a herd of them in Russia? Before we take a break, I do want to say again, these people have clearly never seen the Jurassic Park series of the six movies, because there's a whole subplot where they're resurrecting the dinosaurs but crossbreeding them to turn them into military weapons for the Russian government. I'm just saying, okay?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Joe, let's take a break, because when we come back, there's a lot more to discuss.
So much.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
All right, we're back.
Okay,
we're back.
We're back.
Woolly mammoth time, baby.
Woolly mammoth time. Bring it on.
Woolly mammoth time. So as I said at the beginning of this episode, it's not just one billionaire that is into the woolly mammoth. There are multiple billionaires, a booty of them, if you will.
A booty.
A booty of them. So another billionaire that has been investing and interested in the idea of resurrecting the woolly mammoth is none other than PayPal billionaire Peter Thiel. He apparently made something like a $100,000 investment in one of the research efforts to resurrect the woolly mammoth. And for Peter Thiel, who is a multi-billionaire, $100,000 is like us buying a Powerball ticket, I guess.
Right.
Right?
Yes. Yes.
But this donation was detailed in a new book called Woolly, The True Story of the Quest to Revive One of History's Most Iconic Extinct Creatures. And they argue that this seems like something that would be pretty up Thiel's alley, because like resurrection and the idea of living forever is like really his jam. And it's a lot of billionaires are very into the idea of living forever because they have these grandiose ideas of themselves that like, of course they should live forever. They're awesome.
Okay.
And so this book details that Peter Thiel had a meeting with the company that was working on a bunch of different things. And he said, "Hey, what's the craziest thing that you're working on?" And the guy that worked there said, "All right, well, we're doing anti-aging schemes, a project involving artificial intelligence, and the mammoth." And guess which one Peter Thiel invested in?
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, again, like he's anti-death. He said in a bunch of interviews that, you know, he, in terms of death, he said, I prefer to fight it.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. Now, Joe, do you know anything about like what the actual, like what, how are they trying to do this, I guess, is my question.
That is such a good question. So hold on, let me pull up that file. I have a whole different file on how to resurrect the woolly mammoth. One of the things that makes this a lot easier than dinosaurs. So when obviously we're all thinking about Jurassic Park, and the thing in Jurassic Park is that they find a mosquito that was in amber and it still had dinosaur blood in it, so they could extract dino DNA. That is not possible according to real scientists. So that was the thing that was made up for the movie. Strangely, right? Weird. That they would just that Michael Crichton would just make that up. Oh, by the way, speaking of billionaires, you know that James Patterson is finishing Michael Crichton's unfinished manuscript. Is it going to be like that's going to be the best, like James Patterson is already the best-selling author of all time, and this is going to make him a gazillionaire.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's just some crazy stuff. So anyway, there's a lot of specimens of woolly mammoths that have been found in like in the ice. So I think they do have actual DNA that they can extract as opposed to, you know, the myth that was made up in Jurassic Park. And so it's like, it's recovered DNA from like actual DNA from there's bones, and bones, as we discovered in our other episode, are different than fossils.
Right.
So like there's actual DNA involved. Interestingly, I mean, there's so much going on right now in the studies of both DNA and RNA, and a lot of new science that came up while there was all of the research for the COVID vaccine, actually, into RNA. Like a lot of that research can apparently help like move forward some of this like reverse extinction research, which is interesting. That, you know, one thing does lead to another thing, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's interesting. So yeah. So essentially, it would be very similar to cloning that happens now, and we can clone things. You know, Dolly the sheep, right?
Oh yeah, I'm familiar with Dolly the sheep. I'm familiar with Barbra Streisand's dogs.
Yeah. Exactly. Wait. Wait a second. I'm not familiar with Barbara Streisand's dogs.
She cloned her dogs.
Shut your mouth.
She did. She cloned her dogs. People are doing this.
Okay. Okay. Well, so all right, if Babs cloned her dogs. If Babs
look, you have a dog you love, you want to clone it.
Yes.
Obviously.
Totally. Totally. Well, so this might not even be
my husband says he wants to clone our dog, and I'm like, our dog is crazy. Why would you want to clone our dog?
Why would you clone our dog? Yeah.
But if I'm gonna have another dog, I don't want it to be an exact clone of our dog. I want it to be. I would have our dog with like some gene modifications.
Some things. Well, you know, well, so that's exactly what I was about to talk about. The first woolly mammoth to be brought back, if this ever happens, most likely would not be a woolly mammoth. It would be a hybrid of a mammoth with an elephant, because it would involve the splicing of the DNA of a mammoth with the DNA of an elephant using some kinds of CRISPR technology. I throw these words out there like I know what I'm talking about. I don't.
Right.
I don't. No.
CRISPR is the gene modification technology that I think they're hoping can be used to like eradicate a lot of genetic diseases.
Yes.
Is that an accurate?
Yes. That is. That's a good way of explaining it, right? To like a normal human being, to a history major and an economics major.
No, not science majors.
I mean, some of these articles actually call them the mammophants.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, for mammoth and elephant together. And one of the companies that's working on this, Colossal, has said that it hopes to be able to produce a mammophant embryo in 6 years. But it will take a lot of gene splicing, because I guess that there are something like 1.4 million genetic differences in between certain kinds of mammoths and certain kinds of elephants. There's a lot of work involved, but the long and short of it is they'll take what they have of the mammoth DNA, splice it with elephant DNA, and then try to grow a fetus and have an elephant actually gestate that baby.
Now, is this like, okay, is this kind of like making like a golden doodle?
That's exactly what it's like to breathe. The mammophant could be the golden doodle of the future.
I'm saying this mostly in jest. I think golden retrievers and poodles were not extinct. So
that also should not be on this earth.
Also, like these crossbreeds of dogs, like Do we want to make a liger? I don't think we do.
Ligers do exist, Dory.
But like, isn't that a human? Like, didn't?
No.
Didn't
yes. Humans yes, do yes, that? Yes. Humans did that, but like, right. There are ligers.
I don't think that. Do you know that I
once saw a zonkey?
You did?
Yeah, it's a zebra donkey.
Wow.
I know. I saw it at this weird animal park right outside of Dollywood.
This is a lot for me to process, right?
It's a big episode. Maybe this should be a two-parter. I don't know.
My God. Because I might need to take another break, actually.
We can take another break, because I'm going to tell you that the mammoth is not the only animal that people are trying to bring back.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Okay.
Do you want another fun tidbit? Another cliffhanger?
Yes.
One of these other extinct animals that is trying to be brought back, the company has gotten a lot of investment from billionaires and also celebrities, including apparently Paris Hilton and the Hemsworth brothers.
Okay, wow. That is not where I thought this was going.
Never is.
But I appreciate it. We will be right back.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
All right, we're back. If we're talking about bringing back extinct animals, I have a request.
Yeah, of course.
So my family's nickname for me was Dodo.
I saw that coming. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I always had a certain affinity for the Dodo bird.
Yeah.
I had a poster of the Dodo bird from Alice in Wonderland in my childhood bedroom, et cetera, et cetera. So I just think, like, while we're out here resurrecting extinct animals, let's bring back the Dodo.
Don't you worry, Dory. The Dodo is on the list. The
Dodo, oh, thank God.
The Dodo's on the list. You know, the Dodo is even easier than the woolly mammoth because it went extinct much more recently. There are stuffed dodos, right?
I mean,
Super.
This is great news.
It's good news. It's good news.
Remember when I said I was against bringing animals back from extinction? I am not.
You didn't mean it. You didn't mean it. You
just didn't mean it.
You didn't know. You don't know. You don't know what you don't know. Yes, the dodo's on the list, and also a little something called the Tasmanian tiger.
Oh boy.
Do you know about the Tasmanian tiger?
I do not, Joe.
It is also known as a thylacine. It's a weird looking animal. Like a weird. I feel like all Australian animals are kind of weird looking. It's a marsupial, actually. It's not a tiger. It's also known as the Tasmanian wolf, but it's also not a wolf. It looks like a badger, but with like cat legs, like a cross between a largish cat and a badger, but it's striped like a tiger.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. And it was all over Tasmania for a really, really long time and was hunted to extinction, actually, once people came to the island. And there's this video of this very sad video, which I've sadly watched several times because, again, my son is obsessed with extinct animals, of the last Tasmanian tiger in the Hobart Zoo, just like pacing back and forth in a sad, sad cage. And this is from about 100 years ago. So it hasn't been extinct that long. Also, humans are responsible for killing it. And so the Tasmanian tiger probably has one of the best chances for being resurrected out of all of these extinct things. It's definitely a predator. It can open its jaws like up to 80 degrees. So like its whole mouth can open up like roar. And it's been gone for so long that no one knows what it would do if it were actually re-released into Tasmania. But there's yet another billionaire involved in this situation. And funny story, I found out about this. Now it becomes like an episode of Normal Gossip. Because my friend Ursula was over the other day and she told me that one of her friends is taking a sabbatical with her husband.
Sure.
And they're going to Australia. And I was like, oh, cool. What are they doing? She's like, I don't know. Some billionaire wants to bring back the Tasmanian tiger and they're working on that project for a year.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So I mean, this was told to me by like somebody who knows somebody who is being funded by a billionaire to bring back the Tasmanian tiger.
What is the nature of their research?
They're Why biologists. They're biologists.
This is cynical me being like, does this professor really think that they can bring back this animal? Or are they just like, sure, billionaire, give us some money for the year and we'll come try to do this. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Who knows? But at the Tasmanian,
and honestly, like, who cares? But like,
but also, who cares? Like, I mean,
right?
Any billionaire like wants to give a friend of mine or a friend of mine, like, a bunch of money to go to Australia.
Exactly.
And cool.
Yeah. I guess what I'm asking is like how truly realistic and close is this?
The Tasmanian tiger is quite closer than everything else that we've talked about so far. There is yet another billionaire involved here. Her name is Lyda Hill. She is 81 years old. She's the granddaughter of H.L. Hunt. He was a wildcatter and like oil guy down in Texas. And she inherited all of his money and has been using it for philanthropic means. But one of them is to create a big hub for biotech in Dallas, which is funding and housing this company called Colossal, which is focusing on a lot of these resurrection efforts. They're currently valued at like $1.5 billion. They've raised $225 million in 2 years. The well-known investors are the Winklevoss twins. Do you remember the Winklevosses?
Of course. Mm-hmm. Of course I remember the Winklevi. And they were also like all caught up, I think, in the Sam Bankman-Fried stuff. Yeah. Weren't they caught up in like all the crypto stuff?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, so like the Winklevi are involved here, but also Paris Hilton and the Hemsworth brothers.
Wow.
Yeah.
Star-studded cast.
And this was confirmed by one of the folks at the company that the Hemsworth family invested after they spent the weekend at South by Southwest Sydney together.
Wow. Okay. First of all, didn't know that South by Southwest Sydney was a thing.
Me neither.
Wow.
So the goal of Colossal, again, which is being funded by yet another billionaire, is that the thylacine, the Tasmanian tiger, will be back on the planet by 2028.
That is right around the corner, Joe.
So, I mean, tomorrow, essentially, Dory.
Huh.
And so there's a nine-step plan. It's a nine-step plan. It's literally how to de-extinct the thylacine. The first step is to publish the genome, which has apparently been done. The second step is to sequence its closest relative, which is the Dunart mouse. I don't know. Also done.
Okay. Oh, okay. Wow.
This is
moving right along.
Totally. Step three, identify differences in closest relatives, edit the genes, then derive stem cells for the Dunart mouse. That is in progress. Then develop marsupial-assisted reproductive technology, also in progress. Now we're on step six of the nine-step plan, and that is to use the living stem cells to create an embryo, and that has not been done yet.
Okay. Yeah.
But then they'll put the embryo into the uterus of a host species. I think that it has to be something close, probably another marsupial.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Right? Yeah, marsupials are weird animals. They're weird.
They are. You know, strange.
they carry their babies in a teeny tiny pouch. And they're very tiny when they come out of like the mother's body and go into that pouch. So I think the Tasmanian tiger would be very, very tiny when it comes out, and then it could go into like a kangaroo or a koala pouch, maybe. In my head, that's where it goes.
This is fascinating.
It's fascinating, right? And now,
yes.
I mean, but the question is, could we, would we, should we?
Right. I don't know.
But a lot of things that billionaires do feel like this. It does feel like playing God.
Totally.
Here's the counterpoint to that. In the case of the Tasmanian tiger, the dodo, or some other recently extinct animals like the great auk, humans did kill them. Humans are responsible for wiping them out. So is this playing God, or is this reversing human error?
Interesting question.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But we also just don't know. We don't know how this would alter the current ecosystem, the food chain, and what doors it could open to creating hybrids, right? Because if we can bring back an extinct animal, we could maybe create hybrids of a lot of crazy animals should not be on the planet. But again, I'm not an expert. There are experts who are very, very concerned about this.
Yeah. I mean, I'm no expert, but I would be concerned.
But the big argument here for, and we talked about this earlier, so let's take it back to COP, to the climate conference. The big argument that a lot of these billionaires are making is that this is how to reverse climate change. Like, they're making that grandiose statement. They're making that big statement, right? They're like, okay, but we do have to do this to reverse, to essentially bring about another ice age, maybe, to reverse climate change, full stop.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just, it's tough. It is tough. It's a tough call.
It is. I think your comment about wanting to play God is so apt, because that is such a pattern with so many of these things. It's all the things that, like,
right,
mere mortals cannot access or achieve, right? And
no, all the things.
It's stuff that you can't just actually. It's stuff that you can't just, like, buy off the shelf. Like, you know, you need to, like, invest all this time and money into it. And that's something you can only do when you are extremely wealthy.
Totally, totally. I want to throw a quote from Cameron Winklevoss of the Winklevi out there. And he said that he sees this work that Colossal, the de-extinction company, is doing as an opportunity to future-proof the environment and species.
Ooh.
I don't love the word future-proof.
I don't either. I don't
also,
either.
One more thing that might rub you a weird way. Tony Robbins is a big investor in the project.
Oh, that's interesting.
It's all very interesting. It's like the people that Colossal is bringing together, the Hemsworths, who I think of, the Hemsworths are superheroes, right? In the Marvel universe.
Mm-hmm.
And one was married to Miley Cyrus.
Mm-hmm. Liam.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And then isn't Chris Thor?
Yes. Yes. I mean, all of this has a very, like, Hollywood vibe to it. I mean, I guess they did it already, Jurassic Park.
They've done it already. Yeah. Exactly.
Well, yeah. Joe, this was a journey.
It's a journey. I mean, it's always a journey that you don't expect. It is.
It's a journey you don't expect. A journey that I'm not sure that humanity needs to go on this journey.
No, I don't. But you know, here's the last thing I want to leave us with, because we said we weren't going to express our opinion until the end. If you do a big Google deep dive into resurrecting the woolly mammoth, it really is now all being framed as a climate change initiative, which feels like really good branding, to be honest. Like, that
totally
who's ever doing the PR for the resurrection of the woolly mammoth was like,
yes,
how can I make this seem like just good, just like full on altruism? How can you say, no, don't save the planet, don't reverse climate change, we don't want your woolly mammoths?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. But I just want to know, like, I'm picturing in my head, like, when the first woolly mammoth or the first elephant, the mammoth ant hybrid comes to be, I'm just picturing the Winklevi, like, riding it into the sunset. In fact, do you think that I could ask AI? Do you think I could ask Dolly to make me a picture of the Winklevi riding a mammoth ant into the sunset?
1,000%. You could, like, do that in 20 seconds.
Well, I know what I'm going to be doing when we get off this podcast.
I can't wait to see the results. Oh, Joe. Well, I mean, I think that this was another great example of, do you need to be crazy to be a billionaire, or does being a billionaire make you crazy?
Yes.
As we always like to say. And Too Much Money is hosted and produced by me, Dori Shafrir, and Joe Piazza. Music is by Lisa Brenner. Our network partner is Acast. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye, guys.
Like a Midas touch by the very first time, I make decisions with my wallet, not my mind. Too much money.
listen to her.